You'll find our scripture reading this evening in Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and we'll commence our reading from the first verse. Luke chapter 13, and reading from verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We'll end our reading there at that ninth verse, knowing that the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious truth to each of our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving God and gracious eternal Father in heaven, we draw nigh unto thee this evening in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. We draw nigh to thee, pleading nothing of ourselves, but we rejoice that we can plead the atoning blood that was shed at Calvary. And, O Lord, we thank thee that another gospel hour has come. We thank thee for the privilege to preach the glorious gospel message that tells of Christ, the one and the only one who can save the lost. O Lord, we ask thee that come and bless the word that will go forth. For we are conscious that if we speak in the flesh, it is of no avail. And we ask thee that thou wilt take thy truth, and, O God, that thou wilt write it upon hearts, those that are in this service unsaved, those, O God, who know not Christ as Savior. We pray that thou wouldst open up their hearts as thou didst open up the heart of Lydia of old, that they might attend unto the things of God. O Lord, that this night they would come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that thou wouldst shelter us under the precious blood. Grant, O God, that there will be an highway in this meeting for the proclamation of the glorious evangel. And, O Lord, at the close of this service, may there be those who will come and call upon the name of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask that thou wouldst grant us the anointing of thy Spirit. O God, that thou wouldst come and touch these clay lips with that live coal from off the altar, that we would speak tonight as thus and thus saith the Lord, that the word would go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and that great honor and glory will be brought to thy name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for Christ, our Redeemer's sake. Amen. Our Lord's parable of the fruitless fig tree is recorded for us in this 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel, from verse 6 through 9. It tells us of a certain man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he comes to seek fruit on this tree. He comes for some 3 years and he finds no fruit on it at all. And so the Lord of the vineyard says to the dresser of the vineyard, cut it down. It's of no use. Why should it cumber the ground? You might as well remove it. Let it stay there no longer. And we find that the dresser of the vineyard says in verse 8, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, after I have digged about it, after I have dunged it, if it bear no fruit, then yes, by all means, cut it down. Now the comparison of man to a tree and human works to fruit is very suggestive. And I feel that we can draw the parallel here in this parable. If we think of what we read of the blessed man in Psalm 1, he's likened unto a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Again, we read in Psalm 92 in the verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And as fruit is the product of the tree's life, so the fruit of obedience to the word of God and holiness unto the Lord should be the product of man's life. For man was created to bring forth such fruit, that fruit of obedience to the Lord and of holiness unto the Lord. When man plants a tree, he looks for fruit on it. He's grieved when he finds none. Much more, therefore, the Lord, who has placed the creature man under his providential care. And is not God then angry when he looks upon the creature man? Man who has broken his law, man who has rebelled against him. And as he looks, he sees no fruit meet for repentance toward God. And as God looks on this congregation here in this church this evening, and he sees those who are unsaved, and they're just like this fig tree here that was planted in the vineyard, the Lord is looking for the fruit of repentance toward him, and he finds none from you, sinner. He's looking for that fruit of repentance in your life, and there's none there because you rebel against him and you rebel against his authority. And in this parable, we have illustrated the justice of God in dealing with the sinner. We also see the mercy of God illustrated. We have here the long suffering of God and yet the severity of God in dealing with the sinner who will not bring forth fruit meats for repentance. And so this evening, for just a few brief moments, I'm going to look with you at this fig tree, as we see in it a picture of man the sinner, who does not bring forth fruit meet for repentance toward God. First thing I'd have you notice is its position. Look at verse 6 of this 13th chapter of Luke. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. A fig tree planted in a vineyard. And in the east, the vineyards were usually placed on the sunny slopes. They were usually on a hillside. Indeed, we read in Isaiah 55, verse 1, my beloved hath a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. It was certainly a place that would be favored with the sunshine from heaven. Those vineyards in the east were usually guarded by a fence, usually well hedged around, well protected in every possible way. And let's see the application here. Man the sinner, you the sinner tonight, God has favored you. God has blessed you. God has privileged you in that he has enabled you to come under the sound of the proclamation of the glorious gospel that tells you how you may be saved. And you rub shoulders with those who are already saved. Indeed, God, as it were, has you tonight in the midst of the spiritual Israel. For we read in Isaiah 55:7, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And tonight, sinner, you are placed in a favored position by God. Tonight you're in a place favored by the Lord, and God has protected you, and God has enabled you to be here tonight. God has even brought you to this place that you might hear the glorious gospel message. And just as this fig tree was placed in the vineyard, it was placed in a very favored and in a very, very privileged position. There for some 3 years in this privileged and favored position. Do I speak to some of you tonight and you have been longer than 3 years in such a favored and in such a privileged position? You've heard the gospel for longer than that. You've listened to gospel message after gospel message. Oh yes, you've heard preachers say that man needs to be saved, that man needs a savior, that man needs to repent of his sin. You've heard the way of salvation explained. You've heard preachers expound the word of God. Indeed, you may be even like Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And in such a privileged and in such a favored position as that, the Lord has sought the fruit of repentance from you. And even tonight he finds none. You're a hardened sinner, set in your ways. And your mind is at enmity to the God of heaven. You're like this fig tree in a privileged position. But I'll have you notice that though this tree was in a privileged position, it was in poverty. It was in poverty. It was barren. Because the Lord of the vineyard comes, and in verse 6 we read, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Though in this privileged position there was no fruit forthcoming, and no good work of the sinner pleases the Lord of the vineyard. And no good works that you can do, no fruit that you think you can bring forth tonight of your own good works, can bring forth fruit that the Lord is looking for. It doesn't please the Lord. And sinner, tonight you're barren. You're like this fig tree. You're in poverty. For in your flesh there dwelleth no good thing, and you can only bring forth the deeds of the flesh. And what are the deeds of the flesh? The deeds of the flesh are uncleanness and wrath and strife and all the lustings of the carnal man. And that's all that you can bring forth. You cannot bring forth any of the fruits of the Spirit of God, that which the Lord is looking for. You're not rich toward God tonight. Oh, you may be rich in this world's goods. You may have great possessions. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord Jesus spoke of true riches. True riches are riches which are not left behind at death. And all the wealth that you may accumulate while you're on this earth, you'll leave it all behind at death. And I don't count that true riches. I don't count that true riches something that you'll leave behind you. When death comes, when the call comes to you and you're ushered from time and into eternity. And all the wealth that you have accumulated down here, you leave it behind. No, sinner, tonight you have not laid up treasure in heaven. Why? Because your heart and your affections are not drawn out after the Lord. And your heart tonight is not set upon the Lord. You remember the rich young ruler. How that he was a man who had great possessions. How that he was rich in this world's goods. But he was in poverty of soul. And what did our Lord tell him to do when he came to him? He was to sell all that he had, and he was to come and follow him, that he might be rich toward God. And that's how you'll be truly rich tonight. When you forsake the world and the pleasures thereof, and you come and you follow the Lord, and you be a true disciple and a true follower of Christ. For the person who's following the Lord genuinely has true riches, riches in Christ Jesus, riches untold. But you who are following the ways of the world, you are in poverty, you're in barrenness of soul like this fig tree. And you'll notice when the Lord of the vineyard came to look for fruit, he found none. He found none. So much for those who say that in man there is left from the fall that little spark of goodness. And all it takes is just that little something, and it'll burst forth and it'll fan into a great flame. But he found none, because man in his natural state is totally depraved. Man in his natural state is totally corrupt. And he brings forth no fruit of himself that pleases God. And it's only when we've been quickened by the Spirit of God that we bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Only then do we bring forth fruit that's answerable to life. Because we only bring forth the fruit of true, genuine repentance to God when the life of God sweeps into the soul. And if you're here tonight and the life of God has not come into your soul, man, has not come into your soul, woman, then you're not bringing forth fruit meet for repentance to the Lord. And you say, oh, but preacher, I don't have to do that. I can look back to my family tree. And oh, I can trace there many good names that are in it. But that means nothing to God. You remember what John the Baptist said in Luke 3 verse 8. He said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. But bring forth fruit meet for repentance. But having looked at its poverty, may we in the third place look at its peril. Because the Lord of the vineyard, when he sees no fruit upon it, you know what he says? He says, cut it down. Cut it down. And the justice of God says tonight, sinner, cut down. The justice of God demands that you be cut down, because you're a sinner who refuses to repent, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. And you're in such grave peril tonight, just like this fig tree. For the Lord of the vineyard says, oh, cut it down, cut it down. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And yet in this vineyard where this fig tree was, were there not those other trees that were bearing forth fruit, bringing forth good fruit? And there are those of you here tonight, and you're in the midst of others who are the Lord's own children, who are the Lord's own people, and they're pleasing the Lord in their ways. Yet it seems to have so little effect upon you. But you say, preacher, I don't really see how I'm in peril, because I have really nothing to be saved from. I haven't lived a bad life, you see, preacher. I mean, I haven't been a murderer. I haven't committed any dastardly crime. What have I to be saved from? Oh yes, I've been brought up in a Christian home. I'm not a Christian myself, but I've lived a good life. And back home in Ulster, as I've gone round the doors, I meet person after person that says to me when I speak to them of their soul and of their need of Christ, but they say, I'm doing the best I can, I'm living a good life, and I'm all right for heaven, and I've nothing to be saved from. Let me tell you tonight, that's the reasoning of the carnal mind that's at enmity with God. And even though you may not view yourself tonight as a deep-dyed sinner, you need to be saved from your sin. You see, we see this carnal reasoning here in the opening verses of Luke chapter 13. Let's just look at them. And we see the Lord's answer to this carnal reasoning. Look at verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. The blood of their kindred had even mingled with their sacrifices that they offered. So great was the slaughter that had taken place here. And because a great slaughter had taken place, and because there had been much blood spilled, then there was the conclusion drawn that those who had suffered such a terrible fate, there must have been some terrible sin in their life for such a calamity to befall them. But what did Jesus say in verse 2? Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, just because this happened to them, because this great calamity befell them. The Lord says, are you reasoning then that they committed some terrible sin, some gross sin, because they suffered such things? What does the Lord say? In verse 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And for you in this meeting tonight who are reasoning and saying, but I'm not as bad as the murderer, then except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And those are not my words, they're the words of the Lord. And as if to drive it home hard upon their consciences and to get it right into their hearts, he gives another example in verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem just because this terrible tragedy happened? And you're saying, oh, that was a great punishment because of a great sin. But the Lord says in verse 5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So there's your peril tonight, sinner. There's the danger that you're in tonight. And the justice of God demands that you be cut down because of your sin. And you're like this fig tree. When the Lord of the vineyard came and found no fruit thereon, 3 years he came, and he said, cut it down. And tonight, sinner, you deserve to be cut down, but God has spared you. God in his mercy and in his grace and in his love has spared you even until this hour. And that brings us in the fourth place to notice the probation of this fig tree. For in verse 8, what did the dresser of the vineyard say to the Lord of the vineyard who said, cut it down? He said, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Why are you here tonight, sinner? Why have you been spared thus far? Because there is one at the right hand of the Majesty on High, the God-man, Christ Jesus, who pleads on behalf of sinners. And you've been spared until this hour, not because God doesn't hate your sin. We read in God's word that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he's been angry with some of you for years because of your rebellious ways, yet you've been spared. In his mercy, he has spared you. And he's allowed you to hear the gospel message yet again. He hasn't cut you down, not because he hasn't power to destroy you, for he has all power to cast soul and body into hell at any moment, night or day. It's not because there has been some weakness or some repentance on the part of God that you have not been cut down. And yet, even with the Lord's sparing mercy, sinner, as we read in Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And for all of the Lord's sparing mercies, you've continued to provoke him, and you've not repented of your sin. You're cumbering the ground tonight, just like this fig tree. The Lord of the vineyard said, "Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down." You say, "Preacher, how am I cumbering the ground? All right, I'm a sinner, I'll accept that, but how am I cumbering the ground?" Well, sinner, look at it like this. Some other sinner looks at you tonight. They know you well. And when that sinner is spoken to about his soul's salvation, oh, he'll say, "But I'm as good as so-and-so. And if I'm going to sink, he'll sink with me. We'll both go down together. And I'll be quite happy to be in his company." Is there someone here who's been reasoning like that? Your best friend's not saved. The friend you pal around with, they're not right with God. You're using that as the excuse. Oh, sinner, may the Lord awaken you tonight. You've been given time for repentance, yet you've yielded no service to the Lord, and you've done nothing for God. The God who made you, the God who created you, and you're of no service to him, for you're a rebel in his sight. Let me ask you a question. Would you spare a tree in your garden that you had cared for, that you had watched over, that you had privileged, that you had placed in a favored position? And year after year you come to your garden and you look upon that tree and there's no fruit on it. Would you spare it? No, you wouldn't. You'd say, "Cut it down, remove it. It's cumbering the ground in my garden. It's not a fruitful tree. I want a tree that bears fruit. I've tended to this tree, but it's brought forth no fruit." And yet what a license tonight, sinner, you're taking with God, who has you in the privileged position, yet there's no fruit meet for repentance in your life. Yet the dresser of the vineyard said, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." And oh, hasn't the Lord been seeking to loosen your hold upon earth? Hasn't he been digging about you? How has the Lord been digging about you? He's been digging about you with afflictions in life. He has been digging about you with trials that you've been facing. He's been digging about you with sickness in body or sickness in your family. He's been digging about you even in death that has come into your home or into a near friend. All to loosen your roots upon this old world and the grasp that you have upon it. And yet you still refuse to repent. You still refuse to repent. But you'll notice something. There comes the time when, if no fruit is forthcoming, even the dresser of the vineyard says, "Yes, cut it down. Cut it down. Cut it down." The Lord does abandon the sinner at some stage. Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. And as one of old did say, when Jesus lets a sinner go, who will take him up? When Jesus lets a sinner go, who will take him up? You've been given space to repent. And oh, tonight, sinner, why do you delay? What peril you're in? In danger of being cut off and in a Christless hell forever. And yet there's mercy with the Lord, there's cleansing for your sin in the precious blood of Christ. Tonight will you not come in true repentance of your sin and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May you come, may you do so tonight, for his great name's sake. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving God and gracious eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy word and for the warning note that thy word doth sound forth. Thou dost know those in this congregation this evening without Christ, those who are barren in themselves, those who are poor in the eyes of God, for they have not tasted of those riches untold that are in Christ Jesus. And O Lord, tonight they're in grave danger of being cut down and going into a lost sinner's hell. Oh, for such we pray. Heavenly Father, by thy Spirit wilt thou work conviction in their heart even now. No, may they cry out, may they call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt deal with sinners, that thou wilt open up their eyes, that they will see the danger that they're in, that they will see the goodness and the mercy and the long-suffering of God in sparing them, even to hear another gospel message. O Lord, wilt thou draw sinners to thyself this night, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for Christ our Redeemer's sake. Amen.